Whence cometh my help? For my help come from the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Won't God help you? Won't God change you? Won't God fix you? Won't God forgive you? Won't God make you whole? Won't God straighten your life? Won't God keep your children? Won't he? Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know he's all right? Well, shout yeah. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. I know he's all right. I say, is he all right? If you know he's all right, come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not be so good, but I know somebody who is. And I may not know three things. I may not know two things. And one thing I know, I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Hallelujah. I know he's all right. Thank you, Jesus. A good man.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about I'm qualified. Everybody say it, I'm qualified. Say it again. I'm going to tell you what you're qualified for. Amen. And because you're qualified, by the Lord, nobody can disqualify you. Glory to God. You can't be disqualified. Amen. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 33. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 12. Now, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and were traveling through on their way to the promised land. You know, they had some roadblocks there. Some things came up. You know, and they wasn't able to go in, not all of them. But Moses is having a conversation with the Lord here, and he prays for God's presence. Moses said unto the Lord, see thou sayest to me, bring up this people that thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. This is what the Lord told Moses. I know you. I know your name. And you found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now the way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is your people. So he's saying, prove it. Show it to me. Show me beyond any shadow of a doubt that I found grace in your sight and that we are your people. Amen. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you and I will give you rest. Now, I want to say this to everybody here, and specifically to all these young people here, that sometimes we think that God is so far away, and I want to tell you that he's really so close. Amen. And that when he gives you a promise, he never, ever breaks his word. Not ever. He doesn't ever break his promise. Amen. Because he's a faithful God. He's a covenant-keeping God. And God has never told a single lie. He's never told not one. He's never told one lie, not one. So you can always depend on him to do for you exactly what he said he's going to do. To do for you, to do through you, to do to you. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. So he tells Moses, he gives Moses his word. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going. Amen. My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. But he said to him, if your presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. He's basically saying, if you don't go with us, we ain't going. If you don't go with me, if you won't be with me, I ain't going. I ain't going nowhere without you. And this is the mindset that you have to have if you're really going to serve God with a pure heart, is that you're not going to do anything without him. That you're not going to live your life independent of God, but you're going to live your life dependent upon God. Amen. And so whatever God's done in your life, then we can say that that's not just something that he did for one time. You know, if he set you free, that don't mean you just set free for a day. That freedom is forever through the blood of Jesus. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I mean truly free. And the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus is permanent. It's everlasting. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, says that Jesus didn't enter into the holy place, the holiest, with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood he entered in, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Another translation says a permanent deliverance, an everlasting release. He offered his blood as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we can live in freedom and live in the presence of God. Glory to God. Thank God for it. Say, Lord, if you don't go, I ain't going. Now, sometimes we're tempted to go places that we ain't got no business going. If the Lord won't go with you in a place like that, then you shouldn't be going. I'm talking about his presence now. Because we know that God is everywhere present, but we're talking about his tangible presence. Amen. That awareness, that consciousness of him being in your life, that you know that there are certain things that God don't want you participating in. There are certain places he don't want you to go. There are certain things he don't want you to do. Amen. There are certain things he don't want you to say or to even spend time thinking about. If I can't go there with the Lord, then I just ain't going to go. Hallelujah. In other words, if I can't invite Jesus to do what I'm doing, then I'm probably doing the wrong thing. So whatever you're doing in life, you ought to be able to say, come on, Jesus. Let's do this together. And if you can't invite him into what you're doing, then you know that you're doing something that's probably not pleasing to God. Now, let's keep on reading here. If your presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and this people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. He said, there'll be one thing that distinguishes us from all the other people on the earth is that we have your presence in our life. We have your manifested presence in our life, and that is what causes us to be separated. See, when God talks to you about separation, it's for his glory. It's so that he can manifest his glory in you and through you to greater degrees. Hallelujah. So that the Lord is fully glorified by everything that you do. Praise God. So we thank God that we've been made separate by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Now, look at the next verse right here. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. You see, Moses is having a conversation with the Lord, and this is what we call prayer. See, prayer is not just you just telling God everything and then running off somewhere. But real prayer is a dialogue. It is you talking to him and him talking back to you. That's why I say read and then be quiet. Pray and praise God, then, you know, get quiet. Worship God, then get quiet. Pray and then get quiet. Go serve somebody, help somebody, then get quiet again. Because he may want to talk to you some more. Amen. How many of you know the Lord want to talk to you? Boy, I'll tell you, he won't talk to you more than you won't talk to him. I'll guarantee that. That his desire for you is so overwhelming that your desire for him don't even compute. How much he really loves you, how much he cares about you, and how much he really wants you to know him. Moses is saying, I want to know you. Hallelujah. Then he asked the Lord to do something else. He said, I beseech thee. In other words, he said, I'm begging you. Show me your glory. That's a good prayer for you to pray. Because once you experience the glory of God, I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing on this world like it. And you'll stop settling for counterfeits when you really see the glory of God. When you start experiencing the glory of God, then there's a light that comes in you. Amen. Because his glory is manifested in three primary ways. Everybody say three primary ways. So when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about God's goodness. In other words, you'll be able to see when he says, show me your glory. The Lord said, I'm going to show you my goodness. So the goodness of God is a manifestation of his glory. So three ways, his goodness, his presence, and his power. And when you get all three of them working together, when you got God's presence and you got God's goodness there, of him wanting to do good for you because he is good, and then you got power or ability or strength and might, I'm going to tell you, anything is possible. Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when, even when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that. I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? She said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Yes, Lord. Boy, I read that and I said, that sounds like the resurrection. That sounds like Jesus, don't it? That sounds like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I said, no, believe and he will show you.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it.
We've got Louisiana on lock.
You are the Lord God Almighty.
And in you
are highly exalted over all the earth.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Nothing is impossible when you get the glory of God on the scene. See, the Lord told Martha, remember when Lazarus died, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here 4 days ago, my brother wouldn't have died. And then Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha said, I know that he'll rise again in the last day. And then Jesus said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, Lord, yes, I believe. And then if you keep reading that in John chapter 11, you'll see that Jesus came to the tomb, and there he wept. Then Jesus, after he cried, he said, roll away the stone. Boy, I read that and I said, that sounds like the resurrection. That sounds like Jesus, don't it? That sounds like when they had a stone up over his tomb. And an angel come and roll the stone away. And when he said, roll back the stone, show me where you've laid him. Then Martha said, Lord, it's been 4 days. By now he's stinking. And then he said this, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So you can see the glory of God when you believe. Some people say, show me the glory and I'll believe. I say, no, believe and he will show you. Believe and he'll show you. Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? That's God manifesting who he is, his presence, his power, and his goodness. Hallelujah. And the good news that I have for you tonight is that you have been qualified for all three. You've been qualified to receive the goodness of God. You've been qualified to have his presence in your life 24/7. You've been qualified to have his power work in you and through you. I've had his power working in me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I've had his power working through me too.
Come on.
Because he set me free from all kinds of stuff. You should never be ashamed to say what you've been set free from. Because you don't know how many people might be struggling what you've already been delivered from. But thank God, amen, that we've all been set free in Christ Jesus. So I want everybody, I want this church, everybody in here, I want you to start praying and saying, God, show me your glory. And then don't let the devil disqualify you for it. He'll say, the Lord ain't going to help you. The Lord ain't going to use his power on your behalf. You too bad. You ain't going to see no goodness. Why God ain't going to be good to you? Everybody, look at your neighbor and say, I've been qualified for the glory. Amen. That means that you're qualified to receive something from God. You're qualified to receive your inheritance from God. You qualified for it. And nobody can disqualify you. Because the only way you could be disqualified for it, Jesus would have had to snatch his blood away and undo what he did. But he ain't undoing it. He's not going to undo what he did. Let me tell you, I like to say it this way. Let me tell you, God won't change what he did, and the devil can't change it. God said, I ain't changing, and the devil can't change it. Everybody say, I'm qualified. Glory to God. See, the devil's in the business of disqualifying people. I remember listening to Joseph Prince one morning. He's teaching on reasons why people don't get healed. And he said that the more he taught on, the longer his list was getting. You know, you keep coming up with reasons why people not getting healed. He said, you know, he started out, he'd have 10 reasons why you won't get healed. And we know that there are roadblocks to healing. We're not minimizing that. But then he said, then I got on, he said, then my list went to 12. I found out two more reasons why people fail to receive. And he said, and one day while he was teaching on that, the Lord told him, said, stop disqualifying my people. We really need to just look at not all the things that's hindering us from receiving. We really just need to set our eyes on Jesus and look at what he provided and just go ahead and take it. And if you have a relationship and fellowship with the Lord, then you won't be involved in all these other things that disqualify you. If you'll just be a doer of the word. If you'll be a doer of the word, you're going to walk in love. Then unforgiveness can't stop you. If you ain't walking in unforgiveness, then it can't stop you. If you're walking in love, then I'm going to tell you the floodgates open. Really, everything's really rolled up into one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus modified the second one. He said, love one another as I loved you. That's to the church. He gave church a command. New one I'm giving to y'all. That's what he said. I'm going to give you a new command. You love everybody like I done loved you. So that's telling you right there that he's expecting his children to have an experience with him that other people really can't identify with. So we're to love one another like he loved us, because I know how he done loved me. Now I know how I'm supposed to love you. He's forgiven me all my sins. That's how he loved me. He didn't condemn me, so I know I ain't supposed to be walking around condemning other people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Everybody say it again. Show me your glory.
Show me your glory.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. All you young people here, say it. Say, I'm qualified for the glory. Go ahead, each one. Say, God's qualified me. Say it. Okay. Because you know what? If you don't know God done qualified you, then you're going to disqualify yourself. How many people have disqualified themselves? Say, well, I ain't worthy. I messed up the other day. I didn't do right last week. I got these problems in my life. God can't help me. God ain't going to help me. I'm just unworthy. The devil put those thoughts in your mind and you end up condemning yourself. And you end up talking yourself out of God's blessing and talking yourself out of your inheritance. That's why you had to watch what you say. All right, now listen to this right here. Now, all of this is real good, but I want to focus on verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Remember last week I talked to y'all about light? How many of y'all was here last week we're going to talk about light? Who wasn't here last week we're going to talk about light? There was a few of y'all wasn't here. I'm going to do a quick demonstration right now. Turn all the lights off in here. All right, now, how many of y'all got cell phones? Hold them up. All right, now, everybody's got a cell phone, has some light. Now, think about this. As a believer, just imagine that each one of these cell phones here, with the light coming from a cell phone, represents a believer. You see that? Now, you see, believers have been planted in this world of darkness. If I want to be able to read or to see clear, what do I need to do? I got to come to somebody that's got the light, right? Because why? I'll be able to what? I'll be able to see better. I'll be able to determine where I'm going a lot better. So sometimes teenagers, when you're in the world, when you're out there at school, sometimes you're in a dark place. That means that you're around other teenagers who don't have the light. And you're the light, but you might be the only one on your row. See, I don't see but one light on this row. You might be in a class, you're the only light there. What you supposed to do? You ain't supposed to turn your cell phone off, because then you're going to do what? You're going to be dark like the rest of them. Right? So if you're there, you're the only one there, you need to say, Lord, let me shine brighter. Right? You shouldn't be ashamed that you got the light, right? Because you can see better than everybody else. But if everybody on this row start talking about you, what you doing with that cell phone on? Turn that thing off. You're putting too much light out. And they make you feel guilty because you got the light and they don't. And you start feeling condemned and unworthy to have it and turn it off like you did, then you're going to be just like the rest of them, walking in darkness. So what you supposed to do? Keep your light on. Make it brighter. Make it brighter. But your light is big because it's Christ. And so what you need to do is start winning those other friends that you got, or at least being the light and not being ashamed of it. Because God has qualified you to be blessed. Hallelujah. Giving thanks unto the Father who have made us meet. That word meet means that he has made us fit, he has qualified us, or that he has made us ready. Now, if God did that, who gonna undo it? It's just like this here. You can be qualified for a lot of stuff that you don't even participate in. Because if you don't know you've been qualified, then there's no way you're going to step up to the plate and begin to access what you've been qualified for. So that's why we come to church. I'm finding out what I'm qualified for. I'm finding out what my inheritance is so that I can start receiving. And the more I receive from God, the more that I receive of what Christ did for me, then the light, the brighter my light gets on the inside. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men. See, before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen. So we really need to be thinking about, what can I do to glorify my Father? Well, the first thing you do is just start receiving from him what he's already given to you. I can't properly glorify him unless I start receiving from him.